Let me encourage you to turn to 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. Richard did a wonderful job last week of leading us through a discussion of Aquila and Priscilla. You know, one of the things about the Bible is that it gives us the capacity to look at the example of what not to do, as well as what to do. The history of Israel is typical of human beings. Chronicles, Judges, Kings tell us of one fiasco after another. And we're told in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, beginning with verse 24, that the reason for this is that it's a schoolmaster for us. The Old Testament is not God's will for man. It is the history of man refusing to do what God has called man to do. One of the most interesting characters in all of history is the one we're going to look at today. His name is Uzzah. And in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 26, we get introduced to this young man. Something that I think has a great parallel in our own lives. The Bible says, then all the people of Judah took Uzzah, who was 16 years old at the time, and made him king. Wow. You know any 16-year-olds who want to be king? You know, it's interesting to realize this kid was just a kid. He wasn't mature. He'd had a good father. But they took this 16-year-old kid and they made him king in place of his father. You go on down to verse 3. Uzzah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Israel 52 years. 52 years. So he was one of the longest reigning kings in the history of Israel. The passage goes on and it says, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah. We don't know how that came about. But what is important is that Zechariah was his mentor. Let me ask you, who's your mentor? For a 16-year-old kid to be put in a position of leading the kingdom was pretty bizarre. But here he has a mentor who is a priest, someone who can give him good counsel, and someone who would lead him to seek God. Who's your mentor? Who's my mentor? And I hope that when you think about that, you don't think of a person. Because there's no human on this earth that I would trust with my soul. And I'm independent enough to think that I need something more direct from God. 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 16, says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I don't know about you, but I need those things. I need to be taught. There are times I need rebuking and I don't accept it from my wife very well. There are times I need correcting. There are times I need training in righteousness. The passage goes on and says, so that the person of God, the man or the woman of God, may be complete, complete, totally equipped for every good work. You know, we have a song in our songbook that we sing. He leadeth me. The song has been one of my favorite songs. I hope that it's an accurate description of me. If you want to look at it, it's number 216 in your songbook. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I go, whatever I be, till is God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me, his faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And then he talks about gloom. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's powers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. The third stanza talks about putting our hand in God's hand. You and I need to spend time with God in prayer. And then the last stanza, and when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory is won, even death's cold hand or cold wave, I will not flee. For God through Jordan leadeth me. I would hate to face death without God. In our class this morning, we talked about Song of Solomon. And in the process of that, it was pointed out to us that there are two things in life that are fundamental to all of us. One of them is love. And the other is death. He leadeth me. It's important to understand that in this situation, Uzzah, even in spite of his young age, was able to have incredible success because he had good spiritual guidance. We read about that in 2 Chronicles 26, beginning with verse 6. Especially verse 10, we read about his military success. The Bible says he went to war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jadeneth, and Ashbod. He then rebuilt towns near Ashbod and elsewhere along the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabs who lived in Gur Baal and against the Mennonites. The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzzah, and his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt, because he had become very powerful. Verse 10 says, he also built towers in the desert and dug many cisterns, because he had much livestock in the foothills and the plain. He had people working his fields and vineyards in the hills and in the fertile lands. For he loved the soil. We could spend a lot of time talking about the archaeological verification of that series of verses. Archaeologists have recovered most of those towers, most of those fortifications. Uzzah has great prosperity. He brings security to Israel from close by enemies. You know, every time I read that story and every time I think about America, I think how blessed we are. Where's our nearest enemy that threatens you today? Well, Richard's going to be flying into some of that this week. But understand that as an American, you don't have to worry about someone taking you over in the next 20 minutes, shooting your children, putting you into slave labor. And one of the things that's interesting about that verse we just read is it says that Uzzah stayed close to the land. He loves the soil. The culture around him did not take him away from his roots. You know, it's kind of interesting. We've just gone through some historic stuff. Celebrations about D-Day. Apollo 11. One of the things that's been interesting to me is that I've had emails from young adults that say, I'm not sure D-Day ever happened. And I'm not sure I understand where that comes from. Certainly all of the movies and the film clips and the pictures of the horribleness of war have provided a great deal of pictorial evidence. But we need to be sure our young people understand today the price that has been paid for the security that we have. And thank God that we were lucky enough to be born in America. You know, I don't know about you, but every day it seems like I think about how blessed I have been. You go online and you look at the pictures of what's happening in other parts of the world, you see solicitation letters showing horrible pictures of children denied basic food, basic water, basic medical attention. And we think, how can I be so lucky as to have been blessed to live here? I guess one of the things that changed my daughter's attitude about things more than anything else was that she was struggling with a lot of things, and we made arrangements for her to work in a mission point in South America. She came back a changed kid because she began to understand how blessed we are and how important it is to stay close to the land as Uzzah did. As we read on in Uzzah's life, we see that he becomes very powerful. As you read on, starting with verse 11, Uzzah had a well-trained army ready to go out by divisions according to their numbers as mustered by Jabal and his secretary and Manasseh, the other officer under the direction of Hananiah. I'm sure I'm butchering those names, but one of the royal officials. Then it tells us the number of family leaders. They tell us about the command of the army, about how many men were trained for war and the powerful force to support the king. And it says, Uzzah provided shields and spears, helmets, coats of armor, bows and sling stones for the entire army. In Jerusalem, he made machines designed by skillful menders for use on towers and on corner defenses to shoot arrows and hurl large stones. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped, until he became powerful. Isn't that an interesting end to that? Until he became powerful. This is the Old Testament. This is a political system. This is a national system. Becoming powerful, being blessed by God with control over the environment around you was important. And Uzzah excelled. But we know where that exhalation came from. We see that his power and his great prosperity was a function of God blessing him because he stayed close to God. You know, we need to understand where our power comes from. What's interesting about the church is that the church, when it becomes powerful, gets sought after by people in the world. We have people who want our support. I get letters every day addressed to the church from the various political parties wanting us to endorse their candidates. So as the church grows, its power becomes sought after by the world, and we can be influenced by that. We need to understand where our success comes from. This congregation has been blessed enormously. We have a lot of wonderful things happening. But we have to be careful to understand and to remember that that power is not coming from us. That the success that we enjoy is not something that is a product of our wisdom or our money or our intelligence or anything else. But God keeps opening doors, keeps providing us with opportunities. And thankfully, we have a number of people in our congregation who know how to see those things and to move us to become involved in this community. But there's a risk. And the risk with Uzzah becomes very clear when you read verse 16 on. But after Uzzah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. You know, one thing about power is that power always seems to generate a need for more. And Uzzah is classical. One of the tragedies of the church in the 20th century has been that we have had church leaders, preachers sometimes, who have wanted to develop a following, a basis of power, and to move them to become involved in areas that the church should not be involved in. God has roles for all of us. And what happens here is that Uzzah, who had been tremendously successful politically, who had had great success militarily, now wants to take control of something that God had assigned to others. So, again, the verse says, his pride led him to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. This was a role that had been assigned to the priests, to those who were descendants of Aaron, those who had been given particular jobs. That verse tells us about that. What happens is that the priests who are charged with this responsibility come to Uzzah. This is verse 18. They confronted him and said, "It is not right for you, Uzzah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense." There was a particular assignment of responsibility. Is that true in the church? And the answer is yes. We have studied in our Wednesday night class Timothy's discussion about elders. There is a specific set of criteria about elders. For someone to decide they want to be an elder, And to ignore those qualifications would be the same kind of mistake. There are descriptions in the scripture about an evangelist. We are supporting, in part, several evangelists in different parts of the world. Glenn Langston, Samuel Raj. Quite a list, actually. But what's interesting in this situation is that Uzzah doesn't respond well. Typical, prideful, prosperous political leader. That verse goes on and says that the priest told him, "Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God." Okay, what does Uzzah do here? Throughout his early life, he has been one who took advice spiritually. That's why Zechariah was so important in his early life. So does he repent? Does he say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I overstepped. I know God has roles for different people. I know that there is a prescribed teaching in God's law. And I'm sorry." What does Uzzah do? Verse 19. Uzzah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, became angry. Well, that's pretty typical, isn't it? I got caught with my hand in the cookie jar. And instead of making an appropriate response, he gets mad at the people that have pointed it out to him. We study a lot of different subjects here in our classes, in our sermons, Wednesday night, Sunday night. You all get a bulletin. I try to get one to everybody every week. Every now and then I screw it up. I sent Brenda and Michaels to Richard somehow this week. Don't ask me how that happened. The computer did something weird. Isn't it nice to have computers you can blame when you mess up? But I hope you take a few minutes, maybe stick it in the bathroom and read it. Because part of our teaching is what we put in print. Those, for the most part, those articles on the back of your bulletin are not canned articles. They are me writing to you about things from God's Word. Do you get mad when you read something you don't agree with? That's what happens with Uzzah. The Christian model is very different than the Old Testament model. In John the 15th chapter, starting with verse 1, Jesus lays out his plan for how the church should function. "I am the vine, and you are the branches. I am the vine. Bear fruit as a branch of me." So we study God's Word. We read God's Word. That's our schoolmaster. We try to avoid power struggles. We try to rely upon God's Word as the guide for our lives. And we're told in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 12, that we need to be satisfied with what we are and who we are. The Bible says, "For as many as one and has many members, that all the members of that body, being many, are made one body. So is Christ Jesus." We need to be understanding the fact that we all have different gifts. We all have different talents. We've talked about that so much from this pulpit. There is such a need for so many different things, different talents, different abilities. And I'm so proud of so many in this congregation that have taken on a ministry and done wonderful things. You know, you read and think about what this congregation is doing, and the heroes in my book are not me or anybody that is in the male leadership, really. We talk about our Coke giveaway. We talk about our food bank. We talk about a highway cleanup. We talk about the work that Cynthia Salmoth Lang does. We talk about fun fair. We talk about who's doing all this stuff. There are roles. There are specific roles. But the Bible has a lot of history of people who didn't like the role. In Acts, the 8th chapter, we read about a guy named Simon. Simon was a guy that had a great reputation politically and socially in where he lived. In Acts 8, starting with verse 9 through 11, we're told he was a great one among the people. In verse 18 through 19 of that chapter, we see that he is converted to Christ. And he sees the power of the Holy Spirit in the apostles' hands. He sees a role that he doesn't have. He sees a power that he wants. And so what he does is he gets out his money bag and he offers to buy the talent. And if you read Acts 8, beginning with verse 20, you'll see the condemnation that Peter gives him. You can't buy a role. God opens the door. God gives you the capacity. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 18, we see that religious pride can generate conflict. We use 1 Corinthians 11 to talk about communion a lot, but that passage actually talks about the church that corrupted the communion and turned it into a social party, changing the role. And so what happens? Well, let's keep reading in 2 Chronicles, starting with verse 14. While he was raging at the priest in their presence before the incense altar of the Lord's people, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. See, we get to the point where the consequences of what we do becomes real. At the height of his strength and his political clout, Uzzah felt he didn't need to pay any more attention to what God had told him. Verse 16 says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. His health leaves him, and he develops leprosy." Think about how many people among us right now are struggling with health issues. You know, if that doesn't do anything else, it should make us care about what our relationship is to God and how little control we really have over our strength, our health, and our lives. Cancer, strokes, heart problems, they don't care about your money. His health leaves him. And I'm not saying that if we have cancer, it's because we've done anything wrong. Mankind has brought that against us, not anything we've done individually. Cancer is a man-caused problem. But prosperity may make us feel we are invulnerable, and that is so far from the truth. So King Uzzah, verse 21, had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and excluded from the temple of the Lord. The one bright spot about this is that his son Jotham profited by his father's mistakes. And the whole 27th chapter of 2 Chronicles tells about the wonderful things this young man did. He profited by the lesson of Uzzah and the peril of prosperity. And I guess the question to each of us is, will we profit by this story? Will we let the Old Testament teach us not to trust in ourselves or in our power, not to look for some other role than the one that God has given us, but to be one of the branches of the vine, Jesus Christ? I think each of us needs to think about this, study this, read about Uzzah, and hopefully be encouraged to live with the tutoring of God's Word. If you're here this morning, if you have a need that we can share with you, we encourage you to stand up for Jesus. As we sing a song to encourage you, let us pray with you that you may begin a new walk. Let's stand together and sing.